box, office, refund. Box Office Refund Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Box Office Refund Podcast. I'm Nico Bell.
And I'm Ward.
And we review low-rated movies.
And decide if the critics were wrong.
Ward, how you doing tonight?
It's hard to say. I've watched a movie that has caused me to question the very fabric of our solar system, of time. It's, and I'm not sure that's a good thing. It was an experience, that's all I can say. It was neither good nor bad. It was an experience. I'll be forever changed.
Okay, well, for listeners, we watched Battlefield Earth, which is arguably the worst movie that has ever been created.
Wait, did we watch the first one or the second one? I forget.
Funny, yes. Definitely, there's only one, thank goodness. And we scoured the internet to find one brave soul, just one, to come on our podcast and defend this movie, to say something positive about it. And we found him, introduced Ben Ritter, the only fan of this movie, the only fan of Battlefield Earth. Ben, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on the podcast.
Yes, I'm so excited that you're here. Battlefield Earth, John Travolta, 2000, the year 2000, this movie came out.
Well, before we get into this, I just want to frame this. Ben is an admitted Battlefield Earth fan. I need you to frame it. Is it, it's so ironic, I like it ironically, it's so bad, it's good, or do you believe this is the pinnacle of modern cinema?
Well, as the world's foremost Battlefield Earth enthusiast, yep, I have to say that I recognize this film's flaws, and I enjoy it because of those, not despite. I think there's something to be said about being the worst movie of all time, and I think that can be as enjoyable as the best movie of all time.
Pretty bold claim.
I like it. I'll give you that, Ben. I was ready to fight about this movie. How can you possibly say it's good? But I don't have anything now. You cut my sales. I'm like, you make good points. Podcast is over. That's it. That's all we got.
If only, Ward. All right. So this movie got a 3% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I think is the lowest we've ever gotten. Maybe LOL was less. Maybe LOL was 2% or 1%. But this might be the lowest movie we've ever watched.
Did you like this more or less than LOL?
You know what? I was thinking about that. I think I like this more. What did you think?
I'd have to go more. I mean, if I had to watch one of those movies again, it'd be Battlefield. Like, LOL, I never even want to think about it again. So thanks for introducing it again.
Ben, have you seen the Miley Cyrus, Demi Moore coming-of-age movie called LOL?
I have not. I am very intrigued, though.
They had a scene where they put a webcam up the whole of a raw chicken to mimic.
I believe this was for artistic merit, wasn't it? As the middle of the movie where they're going for art.
I'm sorry. Yes. It was a young teenage girl doing a little flirting online with her boyfriend, and she sticks a webcam up a raw chicken. I'll just leave it at that. That's the quality movie that is. This is a tiny step up. No raw chickens. They did have a raw rat, so a little bit of a step up, yes. All right, we got to give an overview of what this movie is. Ben, do you want to give an overview of what this movie is?
Yeah, can I, just before we go any further, what happens to the chicken?
Well, the chicken actually gets dumped into a laundry basket, I believe.
Okay, yes. Yeah, well, I'll definitely be watching that later.
Oh, boy.
Look at what you've done to Ben. That was not nice, Nico.
I know, I'm sorry. He's never going to come back now. All right, so what is Battlefield? In case people haven't seen it, what is it about?
Okay, so I've seen this at least a dozen times, probably more than that, and I'm not exactly sure. I know that gold is the most valuable currency, or I guess material in the universe. Everyone needs gold, and Earth has it. Unbeknownst to the people living on Earth, who are basically cavemen at this point, 1,000 years after civilization ended, the Cyclo, who are an alien race, are very into getting this gold. They're the only people that we're aware of that know what gold is or that it's valuable. So from there, man has been enslaved by this race.
Yeah.
We're not really sure what they're allowed to do, but they are not allowed to mine for gold. I know that is stated in the film.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good.
I guess. But, I mean, it's about more than that, though. It's just, what is it really about?
Well, that is the question that maybe we will get to the answer of. Let me back up to you watching this a dozen times.
Sure.
That is a lot of times to watch this movie, Ben.
And that's probably a lowball estimate, I gotta be honest.
Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry to hear that. I don't think I've watched any movie that much that I've loved.
Really?
That
no
much.
Movie at all no. That many times?
Well, no, that's not true. I love Christmas movies. I've watched Christmas movies like 1,000
times.
Well,
that's a genre, though. But, I mean, I'm not sure that counts.
But like an actual movie? I don't know. Ward, is there like a movie or maybe even a bad movie that you love so much that you've watched 1,000 times?
I don't really love any bad movie. I've watched
I've watched
Ghostbusters, gosh, probably 20 or 30 times.
You know, I probably watched Step Brothers 30 times. I really like that movie with Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
I've watched that one.
I mean, comedies are meant to be rewatched dozens of times, and I think this movie is a comedy.
See, I think that is the first point that needs to be discussed, because I didn't know if it was supposed to be funny or if it was just funny on accident. If it's funny on purpose, if they were doing it on purpose, then I can give it some points. But if it just stumbled into silliness, then I think it's just a terribly done sci-fi movie. I don't know.
I think it can be both. I mean, plenty of bad sci-fi movies are funny now. I don't know. Battlefield Earth does something for me that I think a lot of comedies that try don't. And it, like, it's like baffling in a way.
That's a good way to say it.
It's like a different type of humor than can be, like, intentional. I think if you tried to make this like a funny movie, they couldn't have. Like, that's why all the jokes fall flat. Like, anything that John Travolta laughs at isn't actually funny.
But I want to be clear, though. This movie, from my perspective, did not try to be comedic. I mean, it is definitely comedic. No. They could not have been this funny if they had tried. But it is very, I mean, if you look at it as this is an accidental comedy, it's very good in that regard. And I can't believe I'm saying very good and Battlefield Earth in the same sentence. This
I am
going to
close that. Ward, that is going on a
I don't
meme,
doubt it.
That is going on at Box Office Refund on our Instagram for everyone to hear from now
on. As long as you include the context.
I don't care if you never watch it again. If I can, like, change your feelings about it that much, like, this is such a win for me. Like, already, this is so great. Like, I...
Oh, that's awesome.
Just, you know, just the next time you talk about it, just say, like, it might be funny if you watch it.
It is. Like,
and, I, you know, maybe you'll change somebody.
Ben, you're making so many good points. This is, it's crazy. I didn't think it was possible to make these kinds of points with Battlefield Earth, and you're doing it. This is a life-changing night for me, I'll tell you what.
Are you being sassy?
I'm really.
Is that a sassy?
Ben has made a lot of good points that when I was told somebody was going to come onto this episode and defend Battlefield Earth, I thought, there's no way somebody can credibly do it. And Ben has not only done that, he's going to bump beyond. Like, Ben, thank you, man. You were rocking it. It's the points you were making, I didn't think were humanly possible, and they've been made. And I want to hear you talk about Battlefield Earth. It's crazy. It's wild. What a ride.
This movie won a Razzie for the worst picture of the decade.
A Razzie. It's won just, so many Razzies. Didn't win, what, seven?
Well, yes, but
that's the
worst
record, right?
Picture of the decade. So let's just
I think somebody's
beat
it.
Down,
somebody beat, I can't remember what movie beat it, but I think a movie beat it with 8.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, we'll have to check that out for sure. Yes, this movie was originally the screenplay of J.D. Shapiro, and he actually was supposedly had a really good script that was really, really gritty. And when he said that his script had no slow motion at every turn, no Dutch tilts, no campy dialogue, no aliens in kiss boots where everyone was wearing Bob Marley wigs. So clearly his vision was very different than what we got, which I think was just John Travolta's dream and fantasy of what this book was made into a movie.
John Travolta dumped his own money into this. He was so sure about this movie. I mean, I can't remember. I read a quote somewhere. I don't know what it was, but he's like, this is Star Wars meets some other great movie. The man was delusional.
Meets Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, there you go.
Delusional. That's delusional.
Yeah, he wanted Tarantino to direct this.
Oh.
He asked him to direct it, and Tarantino was like, no way, man.
Can you imagine if Tarantino had directed this movie, what it would have turned into?
It would have been more confusing. Like, what order would it have
so
been?
Much better. Oh, so much better.
Oh my gosh, it would have been crazy. I would have loved to have seen that movie. But as is, we have to admit that it had some terrible acting. This tilt that the camera had drove me crazy. Everything was at a 45-degree angle. I hated it. I couldn't stand it. There was random slow motion scenes. I feel like we could have taken those all out. The whole thing was just terribly put together, in my opinion. The production looked like an amateur was shooting it. And apparently it had a really good budget. The budget was estimated at $73 million, but they discovered that it was actually closer to $40 million, and Franchise Pictures had falsely inflated the budget and was sued for fraud.
Well, you know, I mean, there's just so many artistic decisions in this that are strange, and I just don't think these poor decisions were accidents. I mean, somebody decided, hey, you know what? We should just change the entire color of the movie every half hour. Let's keep people on their toes. Hey, you know, let's shoot everything at an angle, because that will be cool. let's just make, you know, and there are good actors in this movie. Forrest Whitaker, he's a good actor. But if I had only ever seen him in this, I would think, oh, they must have pulled that poor man off the street. He's never acted before in his life. That poor man. It's just amazing in a way that Roger Christian got such terrible performances out of people. And just the way this looks, the decisions that were made, someone made a decision to do those things. And that's fascinating because they are terrible decisions.
Yeah. So I watched this. I watched the Blu-ray of this and noticed that the CGI is really not bad. Like the shading and lighting are really good. Not really good, but they're, especially for 2000, like they're totally acceptable. But it's just ugly design. So, you know, talking about the budget and the money that they supposedly spent, I don't think this is a better movie if they have that money. You know, like that was just a scam. But like, even if this saying this movie cost $75 million sounds awful. But saying it's cost $40 million, you're like, okay, that's, you know, they did the best with what they had.
With, like,
you know?
Most of it going to Travolta's salary.
Oh, absolutely. And his jets.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, do you want to guess how much money this made total gross? What do you think, Ward? How much money did this movie make gross?
I'm going to give it $125,000.
Wow.
1,000?
Wow. Ben, do you have a guess?
I want to say more than 15, less than 25 million.
Okay, so you are way more in the ballpark. Ward, you are just okay. So pessimistic.
I don't think it's a bad guess.
It had an 11.5 million USA open, and it grossed 21 million. It actually didn't do horrible. I think people were probably curious about a John Travolta, L. Ron Hubbard movie, because I know that they were really trying to sell it as a sci-fi, not an L. Ron Hubbard movie, but I think people probably went because they were just curious.
So if it made 21 million, does that mean roughly 200,000 people were duped?
Yeah, pretty much. I guess so, right?
Before we get too far into this, I watched this on Sony Crackle. It is free streaming. It does have commercials, but their description of the movie is awesome, and I'm just going to quote it. John Travolta's dreadlocks colonize Earth in this adaptation.
I love it. I love that the dreadlocks... I love that so much.
But doesn't that sort of contextualize it as a comedy? I mean,
yes,
you know, isn't that like, I really think that person gets it. To me, that's a person who like has seen this and kind of wants you to see it too.
Okay. I mean, if I looked at it and it was a comedy, then sure, I might be able to sit through it. I don't know. It took me 4 watches to get through it because it was so mind numbing. I couldn't handle it. So, I don't know. Even the comedy aspect of it, it just wasn't, it didn't land. It wasn't that great. There were a few moments that I laughed, but not enough. Not enough for me to ever watch this movie again, I would say.
Are y'all fans of The Room?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I know of The Room. I've never seen The Room, but I know a lot.
Lord, you've never seen it? Never seen You're it. Getting kicked nah. off this podcast, my friend.
I realize I need to
you
see it.
You are absolutely done.
It's a cultural touchstone.
I have a
I get
co-host
it.
Position open now because Lord is no longer on this podcast. I can't believe it.
Well, okay, so I can talk about that movie without spoiling anything. Just in that I think this movie is like The Room in that watching this by yourself is not that exciting. But if you have someone to look over to and like, you know, did we just see that? Is this really what's happening? Like if you have someone to like experience this with, I think this is like such a, it's a fun theatrical experience. It's not necessarily something fun on your couch alone. Like I would not Netflix and chill this unless you're just trying to do the chill part.
But you have watched this many, many times on your own, though. Yes.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, yeah. I get it now.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it was kind of like pointed out to me as well that, like, it's not something to just, hey, I'm gonna throw on Battlefield Earth and just hang out. Like, that's not going to work. To, like, make it an event. Like, make it, like, this thing that you're all, like, in the same mindset for. I'm not going to tell you how to do that, but just, you know, you'll prep yourself and contextualize it as a fun, dumb movie and like know that going in, and it's fun and dumb. It's so dumb.
I feel like there's alcohol involved in a sitting like that.
Oh, I mean, I'm not saying that, yeah, that's not a thing for all movies. I don't think you should get a drink before every movie. Definitely get one before Battlefield Earth.
There we go. That should be the tagline right there. Definitely get a drink before you watch this movie.
I mean, I think you make a good point, Ben, comparing this to The Room. But I guess the thing that's different for me. Well, I know, but I know so much about it that I practically have. You know, like, The Room was made by Tommy Wiseau, like, this guy that has no business making a movie, doesn't know how to make a movie, and somehow he does. It's an underdog story in such a weird way. But with Battlefield Earth, John Travolta knows how to make a movie.
Yeah.
And the problem is, this has almost too much budget. If you could slash the budget even more, like, the only thing that makes this not, like, on The Room level is kind of the production budget. The fact that, like, the CGI, like you said, isn't that bad. They have some settings. if you take away some of this production budget, I mean, the acting, the dialogue, all of that is complete the room level.
Yeah.
This movie's almost too good for what it should be.
But I think the thing that they have in common is the delusion that they're making something great. Travolta thought he was making...
I'll give you that.
He said Star Wars meets Pulp Fiction. By the way, do you know what Jon Stewart called it?
No, what?
Star Wars meets the smell of ass.
No.
It's like my favorite quote about the movie. I just love that Jon Stewart watched Battlefield Earth. But no, I think it's the sense of delusion. They both, like Travolta and Tommy Wiseau, both thought they were making something amazing. And if you remove their intention and you can, change the context of, what you're seeing, it's a different experience. And I can't say that about a lot of movies. It's something that I think makes it distinct from something like Star Wars. You're always going to watch that through the same lens that, it's like this thing probably a part of your childhood, or maybe it wasn't. So I guess that goes both ways and maybe is not like helping make my point. But there aren't a lot of movies that I think you can watch, you can change the context of so greatly, like Battlefield Earth and The Room.
Yeah, you're right. Because if you watch this thinking John Travolta thought this was good, that really does recontextualize this movie. And it makes you wonder, what is wrong with John Travolta? This man is insane.
Yeah.
He got dressed up with those dreadlocks and those kiss boots and was like, yep, this is what
I look good.
Looks like. Yeah, I look good. Exactly. With that facial hair, the weird facial hair coming out of his chin. And he was like, yep, this is the choice we're making, guys. Everybody is going to be doing this.
All the cyclos also have an extra finger on their right hand.
Which I did not notice.
But that's one finger on only one hand.
Yes, so it's 11 total fingers, which makes no sense. I have the Turl action figure.
Of course.
And it's wow. Also it also has 11 fingers. The
oh
Turl
gosh.
Action figure came with instructions. I keep them actually on my person. I can
of
show
course.
Them to you on yes. Skype right
oh,
now.
Boy.
Actually, I forgot about this. This is my wallet. All my stuff.
Oh my gosh, look at that. Wow. Radiation detector fits into left hand, figure fits into cockpit. Oh my gosh, sold separately. Do you have the Battlecraft?
No, this was actually a gift from someone.
Okay.
So I was like kind of aware of these, but I'd never, taken the plunge. And
oh
so after I put on a screening of this movie. Like I said, it's really fun in the group setting. And this was like a congrats that you actually got someone to do that.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I gotta take a minute to just absorb what I just learned. All right. Well, okay. So this movie is set in the year 3000. So 1,000 years into the future, humans are basically cavemen at this point. They're super stupid. Apparently, nobody has passed any knowledge on from one generation to the other. They don't know anything about the world. They're all hiding from the aliens. But one brave man named Johnny is going to go out into the world, and he is going to reclaim planet Earth for the humans who are now endangered.
A point of clarification, are you talking about Johnny Goodboy?
Yes. Of course, that is
I just want to be clear.
Yes, okay, yes, all right. That is his name, yes. You know what, though? Back in the early days, that's how they named people, Ward. They named last names based on who they were. So you could be Baker or Miner or something like that. He is a good boy, okay?
He's a golden retriever.
Yes, he is. He just keeps
good boy.
Coming back. He just keeps coming back, all right?
Well, do you think somebody read the script and said, hey, Johnny Hero Man, I think that name's just a little too on the nose. We need to switch it up.
L. Ron Hubbard decision, okay?
Oh, really? Was it Johnny Goodboy in the book, too?
Yeah, they just took it from the book. Where do you think they're getting all this stuff from?
I mean, I assume that in the book there were aliens and there were humans, and they just made the rest of the stuff up for this movie.
Okay, so have either,
this is pure
have
nonsense.
Either of you guys read the book?
No. I've seen the movie. I don't need to read the book.
I read the book. The book was amazing. I highly recommend
what,
that.
You read the book?
Yes.
It's a 1,000-page yes. book. It's 1,000 pages.
Now, we have already established that you are not a reader, Ward. If
but,
you
like, you read
to
the entire book.
Episodes, we can tell that Ward is not a reader. We have already established that. Yes, I can read in a book that is 1,000 pages. I was going on
a long
journey.
L. Ron Hubbard's Battlefield Earth.
A long vacation, and I
do you
wanted,
put that on your resume?
I
is that on your resume? Is that like in the footnotes?
That I could sink into and enjoy, and I picked that one, and bam, read.
What were your choices?
You know what? I just looked for a really thick book, and I got that one, and it was all good. Okay? All right, Sassy McSasser Pants. That's it.
How many people know you've read that book? I mean, is that like when you're at parties, you're like, yo, guess what I've read?
Well, now the three people who listen to our podcast now know that I've read the book, okay? And the book was incredible. The book was actually...
Did you buy the book or did you check it out from a library?
Of course I bought the book.
I bought the book.
I have to buy it. It's 1,000 pages. Do you know how long it takes to read a 1,000 page book? Of course I bought
it. No, I don't.
Yes, so I bought it, and I read it, and it's awesome. I highly recommend if you want to, like, sink into a really thick book to get this one and read it. It was really good.
Quick question, and this is serious.
Oh, boy.
If John Travolta was in your city, like, doing whatever John Travolta does, and you knew about it ahead of time, would you bring the book to him and get him to sign it?
Oh, my gosh, I would totally get the book and have him sign it. I mean, you'd have to be crazy not to.
Would you ask him to sign it as John Travolta or Turl?
Both.
Ooh, which one goes to the front cover? Which one goes to the back cover?
Okay, you know what? I feel like now you're just mocking me.
Oh, wait, are we talking about a movie? You know what? I'm sorry, we're talking about Battlefield Earth.
Would he sign it with his 5-finger left hand or his 6-finger right hand?
Okay,
all right.
I really don't need all this sass. Everyone's getting really sassy now. Okay, so John Travolta.
How far are we into this movie?
We haven't started the movie yet, okay? He's majestically riding on his horse. Johnny Goodboy.
That scene is awful. Like, that establishing shot of him on that, like, cliffside, it's the worst green screen. It's I cringe at it every time, and, like, that's why I like this movie.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. He's on his horse, and he's riding to the people who are living in the caves. And he basically says, look, I've had enough of this. I'm gonna go out, and I'm gonna see these aliens. Or I guess they call them demons, or devils, or gods, or something. I don't
demons,
know.
Demons, yeah.
Yes, and then he is going to go, and he's gonna, like, fight them and reclaim Earth. Because he is done living in his cave. Good for him, man. Good for him. So he goes off into his adventure, and we get a glimpse of what the world is looking like. Overgrown mini golf courses, infrastructures are falling down.
Wait, go back to the mini golf courses? Because,
yes.
Like, the goofiest cartoon dragon is what kept them from ever leaving that, you know, like, square mile patch of land that they live on.
Oh, that's right.
Like, that's what they were afraid of. Like, when he first sees that thing, and it, like, shakes a bunch of dust off of it, and then he swings at it with a not at all rusty putter.
Right, of course. Yes, that's right. So then he's like, oh, well, that must be what the gods are. We're totally safe. Oh, but no, not quite. He meets other people who become his friends and warrior fighters or whatever. And how do they communicate? They grunt. Because apparently we have all de-evolved into just people who don't understand language or anything. Shapes, words, numbers. I think that was my biggest pet peeve about this movie, is how I just don't understand how humanity, like, got so stupid.
I think I unlocked it. I got this. In okay. All seriousness.
Oh, boy.
Because I was thinking about this as you were talking, trying to put this together. Because this putt-putt golf course, the dragon, you know, obviously, you would think that information is handed down, that when the cyclos destroyed the Earth in 9 minutes, people ran into hiding. So you still had adults that knew how the world worked. They were like, oh, kids, don't be afraid of this dragon. It's cool. So the kids would pass it down to their kids. You know, you have this whole thing. That's how society works. What if the cyclo killed all the adults and left the kids? Because we've seen the cyclos underestimate humans. All these kids, they're too stupid to ever grow up and live. They'll die. And that explains the dragon. Because kids are like, oh, that's scary. That's got to be like whatever. If all the adults who had knowledge were killed, this movie makes a lot of sense. I mean, except for a few plot holes.
There's so much expository dialogue, they would have explained that.
Actually, I think I would be down with that. Like, if it was just like a bunch of 5- and 6-year-olds, I could get on board with that. I could see that.
It makes more sense that way.
That does make more sense, because then they all have a childish knowledge of the world, which is what the humans now have, and I fully do not understand how nobody has taught them about the universe and the planets and numbers. And when Johnny draws a triangle in the dust and everybody's, like, in awe, like, seriously, have they never seen a triangle before? It is baffling to me.
No, that was a touching moment. I'll give it that.
Okay, did you have a little tear coming to your eyes? Was it?
No, but I mean, I felt okay. It deep down.
I could feel him learning.
I could feel him learning. Okay.
What if that dragon is like a statement on religion, and the idea is that someone just said one day, like, I'm telling you, that thing is a demon.
Wow.
I swear.
I think you're getting
And that's how easy it is to trick people into following Scientology.
I think that you're digging way deeper into this movie than anybody has ever dug. I think you're looking for something that's not there, my friend.
Well, I want to jump back to just the first couple scenes. Okay. Because now I realize I should have viewed this movie as a comedy. I viewed it as a serious movie in this viewing. And this just, it starts with very little context. You've got Johnny Goodboy riding around on a horse. I don't know why. You know, he throws medicine in the air because I think his dad died. Maybe. I don't know. There's no context. And this tells us a lot of stuff, a lot of exposition about humans are endangered. And I just was thinking, well, you know, a good movie would show us this stuff. It'd show them how they live in this village, gathering food. Like okay, somehow society's regressed. Like, the way this starts, right. Who knows what's going on?
Right. I agree. That's baffling and
it's,
to me.
It's just B-movie garbage because nobody cared enough to have this make sense.
That's also a really good tagline for this movie. Bountiful Earth, B-movie garbage. I like that.
Yeah.
That one works really for me. John Travolta is the head of security on Earth, and he's being forced to stay there. Nobody really likes him. But his goal is to get off Earth, and so he decides that if he can mine enough gold, I guess he can buy his way off of the planet, is what I'm guessing kind of happens. So he decides to use, what are they called? Man animals. That's what
man animals. Get a man animals. Have them mine the gold for me.
Wow, for a second I thought John Travolta was here with us.
I know, right?
That's amazing. So he decides that man animals are going to help him do that. And of course, Johnny gets captured. And that's really where the action begins.
Wait, there's action in this movie?
There's a prison fight?
There's a prison fight.
Over oatmeal.
Oh, that sloshy, gross, disgusting. Ugh. You know what? Okay, so for people who haven't seen it, they get in their cages, right? So Johnny's in his cage, and one of the people there, one of the prisoners, says that, you know, everybody eats after he and his people eat. And Johnny's like, no, we all eat together. The food they're eating is some sort of, what is it, like green, slushy...
Glop?
I felt so bad for the actors in that, because I don't know what was in there, but I can imagine when that poor actor got his face down in that glop, that had to be so disgusting. Whatever the prop people used to make that could not have been delicious.
But like how gross that was, don't you sort of give props to whomever created that? I mean, that is, I would call that a good thing in this movie, is how gross that looks.
I think your level, like what good is and what bad is, might be skewed a little bit.
Do you think that actor got hazard pay for doing that?
I would hope so, because that was a lot of glop. It was like in the nose. I don't love that. I don't love food and faces. I'm not a fan of that.
I want to back up because you've jumped ahead. I just want to go back to, you know, everybody's really dumb. And I kind of bought that at first. Like, okay, you know, whatever happened, like all the cities were destroyed. There's no information left on Earth. That must have been what happened. That's why they're so dumb. Once they get to the city and we see, I think it's Denver, Colorado, maybe. Is that right?
Colorado.
Yeah, they go to the Denver Library.
So like,
which is still completely intact. Yeah, 1,000 years.
The city's still there. I'm like, well, why are they so dumb if they have access to these libraries? That's why my all the adults were killed thing makes sense.
Yeah, because no one can read, basically. That's what you're saying.
Because you have to have killed out all the original like knowledge holders, for lack of a better term, for this movie to make sense. You don't just lose this information. I mean, people pass information down.
I know!
I mean, without the internet, they've got to pass the time somehow. It's got to be storytelling.
I know! That's what I'm saying. But Johnny gets to be very knowledgeable, right? Because he gets to have his little thinking cap on that the aliens put him in.
Do you think if this movie was made after the internet was, you know, really in place and popular, that the learning machine would have been not been like a ray of light into his face? Do you think it would have at least, you know, he would have had to like log into Wi-Fi?
No, I think that was a choice that was made that everyone was 100% on board with. The streaming light into his forehead. Yep.
When Carlo pulls Johnny out of it, and then he's like, I gotta go back in.
Yes.
I love that scene. That scene's incredible.
Yes.
We have to learn this. This will help us get out of here.
Yes. He's right. He knows his stuff, man. Johnny is the leader. He knows what he's gotta do.
He's like a master strategizer. Strategist?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that word is.
Yeah. I mean, there's a moment when he could have killed Travolta. And he decides not to. He makes the decision, which I am 100% against. I think he was an idiot. He makes the decision to let him live because he said killing one won't make a difference. Like, we have to kill all of them. We have to be smart. So he lets him live. You know, he's thinking long term.
He's a rat brain.
He's a rat brain. That's right. That's what Travolta calls him.
He has a thick skull bone.
Yes, exactly.
The vocabulary in this movie is either like very, very 90s or they just added a word to an existing word to make a new word. Like every insult is like the most base. That goes with your kid thing.
That's true.
It's the most simple way to say anything except just like complicated plus one. That's it. Like bone, skull bone.
That's fantastic.
Like, that's not a, just say skull.
That's fantastic. Ward, I really think you've cracked this movie.
Gaining traction. Like, no, the whole learning machine, like, I get the cyclers, like, oh, humans are stupid. But just, like, a point of protocol, maybe you don't give them the knowledge to everything, to their society, to your society, to everything. It just seems like a bad decision.
Well, yeah, but he was so arrogant. I mean, that's part of, I want to say his charm, almost, because Travolta was just this alien who was like, nobody is smarter than me. I am going to have leverage on everybody. Like, nobody can trick me. So that's really his downfall, you know? So
I guess, but if he thinks the humans are too stupid to learn things, why even teach them things?
Because they're expendable. They have to go mine the gold. Actually, yeah, now that you're thinking about it, why did they have to mine the gold? Why were the humans doing it?
Because it was too expensive to have all the miners and... Or there's that weird line, like, did you not take your economics class? People won't work for nothing. That really good acting scene.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the thing. This movie's about so many things. This movie is like if episode one was just about the trade talks.
Oh my gosh.
It was just like the Senate stuff. Like if it was just that, like the peace treaties from Star Wars, the prequels.
Yes.
Who normally mines the gold in this world?
The cyclos, because there's it's illegal to use for man animals to do that. But that also doesn't make sense because Turl and Kerr are in that room, and Turl hits his head, and he's like, "I thought I told you to get a man animal to fix this."
Yes.
So like, I guess they can do like some manual labor, but they can't mine for gold.
Actually, his dialogue is crap, lousy ceiling. I thought I told you to get some man animals in here and fix it. Crap, lousy ceiling. Someone wrote that down on paper, handed it to other people, and was like, yep, that's the dialogue we're using. That's it.
They say it like 5 times in the movie. It's in the last scene. That's what he says to Kerr at the end.
It's crazy that this got made. Just the fact that this movie got produced and put into the universe is madness to me. Madness.
Well, going on in the dialogue, there's so many big... I mean, there's a lot of slow motion for a lot of things, but then there's a lot of big, like, no! And in 2000, these were not unique things. Like, people at that point knew, well, you just can't do that in a movie. People see through that. And somebody saw that and thought, yeah, that works. This is good. Send that to edit. We got it.
Yeah.
It's baffling.
I know, right? But it's a little bit of hopefulness, right? Like, if they can make this movie, then one day we can produce something and put it into the universe, and maybe people will watch it.
Only if your last name's Travolta.
Oh, that's true. Man, Travolta...
You too can win a Razzie.
I know, right? Razzie for the worst picture of the decade. Well, they had a lot of Razzies, but for the worst picture...
Is Grown Ups 2 the movie that beat them for the most Razzies?
Oh, man. I don't feel
I
like
don't
that would
think
beat
so.
Them.
But, I mean, this movie, I could almost give this a movie a pass if it was a legitimately B movie.
I
mean,
I thought you were going to say a true story.
Yeah. We don't know yet. But, you know, I mean, if it's truly a B movie, like, man, you know, it's pretty good for being, like, a really crappy movie. But the fact this had a fair amount of money, it had John Travolta, it had Forest Whitaker in the worst acting role of his life. Gosh, I mean, I don't get how the acting is so bad with the people in this. That really is notable. Or notorious. I don't know. Something. I don't get it.
Well, I think he really wanted to play like homage to L. Ron Hubbard. Like, he was very, very excited to kind of put this, you know, out in the universe. He put a lot of money and time into it. I think he actually took a pay cut for this movie, despite the fact that half of the budget was still for his money. It looks like, on a side thing, it looks like Jack and Jill is the movie that has.
Oh, Jack and Jill.
Oh, boy. Adam Sandler, man. We've done Adam Sandler, haven't we, Ward? Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's a fun one. All right. So this one, so we're kind of at the point where he gets captured. I had a problem with this movie in that I could never really tell where they were. Like, the scenery and the setting always confused me because they had these little nose clips. And the aliens can't breathe oxygen, and the humans can't breathe whatever the air the aliens breathe. So I think they did that so that we could tell where if they were on the alien ship or not. But I could never tell, because they picked up Johnny, and he's, like, going into a spaceship. And then I was like, well, where are all the cages? The cages must be in the spaceship. But then Johnny escapes, and he's on land. I don't think they even thought it through. I don't think there was a storyboard
where they— What, you're saying there was something in this movie not thought through?
I know, it's shocking.
It seemed pretty rigorous to me.
Oh, okay, there's like, it's flawless, is that what you're saying? Just totally fine.
I mean, the logic.
This movie's great, except for the continuity.
Exactly, there we go, except for the continuity.
The only mistake they made.
Yes. Yeah, so it was all very confusing to me. It was, the whole movie just didn't really work for me, I have to say.
Have we talked about the Dutch angles? And if we have, we really should talk about them again, because there's so many of them.
It's basically the whole film. I don't think I saw an entire frame that wasn't on a 45-degree slant. Do you? I mean...
There's just so much at an angle. It's bewildering. You know, I believe the director said he wanted this to look like a comic book. I don't know how one connects to the other at all, but that was his excuse.
But see, what were they going for? Comic book? Sci-fi? Comedy? Like, they were all over the place, and none of it really landed. It was crazy.
So I watched this before we recorded, and then I put it on again, and it just restarted.
Oh my gosh. Ben.
The opening shot is not at a Dutch angle. The opening title is...
So maybe...
That's the only thing. It's immediately a Dutch angle after.
Oh, that. Is it really? I was going to say maybe it's not until yes. He gets to the aliens, but immediately after. Yeah, that's an interesting choice. It's, I don't know, it's a bold decision to go with it, but...
Your descriptions aren't really stating, though, how bad of a decision it is. It is a terrible choice. It's a bewildering decision. I don't know. And I mean, you have a director. You have a cinematographer. You have people operating cameras. Like, there's a whole chain of people, and not one of them stopped it? Or did John Travolta, like, flip out when they tried to right angle the camera? Like, no, no, no. It must be at a Dutch angle. It's the only way to capture what we're trying to put on screen.
Do you try these impersonations before?
No, these are off the cuff.
Because I was going to say, it is spot on. It doesn't sound like some weird Scottish brogue at anything. It's just spot on. I will say, like, maybe they were doing it because they tried to make the aliens 10 feet tall, because they are supposed to be ginormous. So maybe they were trying to play with the camera angle to make them seem more foreboding. But
what? Do you think someone's like, oh, how do we fit them on screen? Turn the screen at an angle. The diagonal, they'll fit better. Is that what you're trying to propose?
A little credit. I'm trying to figure out what was going on in their mind. I don't know. Maybe not.
John Travolta has a lot of maniacal laughter in this. Like, he has like something like, you wouldn't, but I would. and he's not even trying. I don't know if he's overacting or underacting.
Probably a little of both.
But I mean, he believed in this. He cut his pay. He put his own money in. He believed in this.
Yes.
He took this script around to people all over Hollywood. Like, everyone. He tried to get everyone to make this movie forever.
That's crazy. And it was going to be a sequel. I mean, this was going to be two parts. The movie stops halfway through the book. So, I mean, he really thought this was going to
be. Where would you go after this, though? I mean, this movie seems pretty complete.
Okay, I don't remember the book completely. It was like, you know, 13, 14 years ago that I read it. But in... what I remember, it was actually different than how they did the movie. They put the explosive necklace thing that was on Johnny's girlfriend, they put that on Travolta, and they sent him back to the planet, and then he blew up the planet. As opposed to in the movie, where they have one of their friends go and blow up the planet. So I think that's what happened. And then in the book... Johnny becomes kind of the leader, sort of the president, and then everybody rebuilds, and then everybody comes kind of complacent and a little lazy in their settings, and that's basically how it goes.
So that necklace bomb?
Yes.
That was enough explosives to destroy the entire planet?
Yes.
So if they had detonated that, you know, while they were on the same planet, it would have just killed him too?
Yeah, now that you're mentioning it, that's
the worst plan ever.
Because they do detonate it in the movie on Travolta's arm, and just his arm comes off in like one clean slice.
Yeah, when the Cyclos lose appendages and limbs, they don't even seem to care.
No.
Like, because it happens to both Turl and Kerr, and I mean, Kerr's just like...
There, it's gone.
What?
Yeah.
Why'd we do that?
Yeah, there's no blood. There's no bones. There's no
agony. Explosion.
Yeah, it's just gone. That is very weird. I would like to see the anatomy of one of these aliens. I would like to know what's going on the inside. If they had a reality show on TLC Ward, that was one of these that would slice them up and look at the anatomy, I would still watch it.
John Travolta just heard somebody wants to see a reality show about cyclos. He's running to the producer right now.
Okay, if this movie had been as successful as Star Wars or Star Trek or something, that would probably exist, though.
That would probably be amazing. I would love it so much. I would see that. Because they have giant heads. Like, their hair kind of covered up their skull shape, but it's actually very elongated, like very oblong. So I imagine they have ginormous brains in there. I don't know. I was fascinated.
Evidenced by this movie, their brains are tiny.
Yeah.
They are so stupid in this movie. So many dumb decisions.
Arrogant is the word.
No, I mean, there's some just really dumb decisions here. What was it? I think when Johnny's first captured, when he's first brought to the biodome, he steals a gun and shoots a guard. And Tor goes, well, surely he couldn't do that again. Hand him the gun again. And he does it again. I mean, just, do they not have any kind of best practices, any kind of standards, any kind of gun safety training? They're stupid.
Legitimately didn't think that a man animal would be able to fire a gun.
Well, I mean, like, what about the rat scene? I mean, they let these starving people out into the wilderness and they see them eat the first thing that they can catch and they think that's their favorite food.
Yeah.
No, it's just the first thing they found, guys.
Yeah, and they couldn't cook it. They didn't want the light to attract the aliens, so they ate it raw. Yeah, and then that's like their treat, a nice raw rat.
It's just a comedy of errors at that point.
Yeah, I would say so. All right, so the big plan is to get them all the aliens into a dome, the dome they can breathe in, and then they're going to explode the dome. The oxygen's going to come in. It's going to kill the aliens. Simultaneously, they're going to send a person with a bomb back to the home planet and destroy the planet, a nuclear bomb. Okay, so basically in the span of 10 minutes, they all learn how to fly fighter jets. They all learn about nuclear weapons.
Also, cavemen learned this. Like, people who didn't understand what triangles and, like, single-digit numbers were.
Yes.
They learned how to fly planes on flight simulators.
In a couple of days.
Yes.
And these flight simulators, you know, the Earth, society crumbled 1,000 years ago. What is powering these flight simulators? Where is electricity coming from? Even if they still had electricity going, the infrastructure would have deteriorated over 1,000 years.
Yeah, it's madness. It's never explained. I don't know if it was ever explained in the book or not, but it's definitely not explained in the movie how this all came to be. But nonetheless, if you think of it as a B-rated comedy, nonetheless, we can just ignore all the problems. And they have their big attack scene. And
before we get to the attack scene, you know, they learn to get these jets or fly these jets, which have fuel, which has fuel that's still stable after 1,000 years. Go figure.
Yeah.
But Pepperman, he figures out where Fort Knox is to get that gold. And how come the cyclos didn't know that? What? I mean, they have scanners, right?
That's true. I don't have an answer for that. Never mind.
One of them says they couldn't find the gold because there were lead walls. How would they know that? How would they know what lead was? How would they know how the scanners work? How would they know any of that stuff?
So,
again, we have to explain the number 8 to this person like 5 minutes later.
Wait. The aliens said they couldn't get to the gold because of the lead walls?
No, I think it's Carlo. I think when they get to Fort Knox and they're in the building, they realize that they were able to find the gold because they had read about it and that the cyclos couldn't because there were lead-lined walls.
So the cyclos, who destroyed an entire planet in 9 minutes, lead is their kryptonite? Like, lead is the problem?
Hey, nobody can see through lead. That's just a matter of fact. Not Superman, not cyclos.
Thank you. Thank you, Ward, for that input.
Do you think this takes place in the same universe as like the DC movies?
If only. That would be amazing. If only.
But you know, gold is very...
Turtle was the villain in Justice League 2.
Oh my gosh.
That'd be an upgrade. Like, but gold is very valuable to cyclos. What do they do with it? I mean, like, if it was fuel, like, humans had this unknown mineral. They didn't know what it was, but we do. We need it for fuel, for who knows what. But they want gold. Do we know what they do with gold?
No.
They don't explain it. And it's not currency. Well, I don't think it's currency because in that ending scene, they say there's a line, all the credits in the world couldn't save you now. And so, yeah, I mean, clearly that I think that means that it's not gold that they're using to trade. I don't really understand the gold thing. And also, when Planet Cyclo blows up, does the value of gold just decrease immensely? Like, is it just worthless at that point?
Oh, no. The whole universe.
If no, I mean, they seem to be the only people that want it. Because they're never fighting off anybody else who wants to come to Earth.
I have an image of the planet just evaporating. Was that this movie?
Did it
just...
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. No, I think the planet was completely vaporized.
Okay, and just nothing was left. Yeah. Okay.
You know, they should have had all the cyclos wearing big gold chains. That way we'd be able to connect the dots on it.
They just wanted more jewelry? Is that what you're saying? More bling?
At least that gives a reason. Some kind of reason for all this gold.
Yeah, they don't wear any gold at all. In fact, the only time gold is seen is, like, really in Fort Knox and then when they're handling it after.
You think maybe they had a leftover set from some heist movie? Like, hey, we have all these gold bars. What should we do with them?
We gotta save some money because Travolta took half of our budget.
Nico, is gold in the book? Is that the thing they're after in the book?
I don't remember, but I can't imagine that they would have not had it in the book. Like, it was.
You can't imagine
pivotal...
John Travolta would allow such a deviation?
Yeah, because it's such a pivotal part of the movie that it has to be in the book. It has to be.
But you said there's an excellent book. Are you saying, telling me the book had the same hole in it?
Well, the book was very well explained. Like, everything was much more, like,
so well explained, you can't remember this explanation.
It was, like, literally over a decade ago I read
but
the
a book this good sticks with you. I mean, haven't you said that?
I remember good parts of this book. The fact that I can remember parts of it means that it's a good book. And I remember being surprisingly impressed by it. You know what? Read the book, Ward.
No.
Read
it. Not happening.
Okay. All right. So they do destroy the dome. They do execute their plan. And they do kill the cyclones and they do blow up the planet. And that is basically, it's a nice happy ending. You know, we got Travolta. He's locked up in a cage. He's surrounded by his gold. They keep Forrest Whitaker alive, which I feel like is stupid. And that's going to come back to bite them. This was supposed to be 1 out of 2. So maybe in the second movie, something crazy was going to happen. I don't know. We'll never know, thank goodness. I mean, unless Travolta is currently shopping that script around, wouldn't surprise me. But that basically ties everything up.
They make that sequel, would you go?
No, absolutely not.
Not a bit, no.
What if it's a really solid trailer?
Oh.
You know, at that point, it'd be a question of whether John Travolta's in this or not.
He'd have to be in that.
Well, if he's not, I would feel a lot better about it.
Really? I mean, he's definitely going to be in it.
Well, I've seen John Travolta's artistic vision. I don't like it. I don't want more of it.
They could very well make a second one. This is becoming the worst movie ever, and therefore has a bit of a cult following to it. So it wouldn't surprise me if at some point, just kind of ironically, they made a part two.
Yeah, but doesn't The Room hold the moniker of truly the worst movie ever?
Yeah, I think when people think worst movie, they think The Room. And they love it. I love it. So, yeah.
I've never seen it.
That's, you're not allowed on this podcast anymore. That's just basically it. I can't believe you've never seen it. That's ridiculous that you've never
seen it. I know
a
lot about
it.
I know so much about it. I feel like I have seen it. I've seen, you know, because I've seen all the clips, all the, you know, the potent quotables. I know lots about it. I saw The Disaster Artist. I think that counts.
Yeah, but it's still have to see it. It's incredible.
I'm fully aware that I do need to see it. And then one day I will.
Okay, so you wouldn't go see a sequel. What if Travolta's not involved? It's rebooted.
Oh, but it's all females.
I'd consider it.
No, I don't think
I'd consider it.
Really?
You know what? Let's have J.D. Shapiro, his original script.
Okay, yes.
That's the reboot.
Yes.
I'll take that.
Yeah, I would totally. Yeah. If it's really like as gritty as he talks about, I would totally be into it.
We'll see. I don't know. Maybe one day.
So I had 7 paragraphs of notes for the first half of this movie.
Uh-huh.
I had 1 paragraph for the second half.
Did you
and
fall asleep?
I don't feel like I left anything out. I mean, I don't. Maybe I blacked out or zoned out. But like reading my notes, there's nothing big missing. It's all kind of there. I don't know how that works.
It just transported to the end of the movie. I kind of feel the same way. I had a lot going on at the first, and then I just skipped right to the dome part. So,
you know, how old was I don't know how old whoever rewrote it, Corey Mandel. I don't know how old he was when he did this. But if somebody told me he was 12 years old, I'm like, oh, I get it now. He's 12 years old. He must have had a fever dream.
Wow, really?
That's where this movie would have come from.
Wow.
I would also believe that person was like 84.
one or the other, right?
Like the complete opposite spectrum, and like they think that this is what's current, and that like
that would be so amazing.
Just like the complete, they have no idea. Yes. No,
those
no
kids
touch,
with
know?
Their dreadlocks and their big boots walking around. Yes, that'd be amazing. I would love it so much.
But that works even better because that would give us a little bit of credence as to why he had like all the older people killed and it's just kids, you know? He's like, oh yeah, they think old people are worthless. I'll show them what's worthless.
Yeah.
We've cracked it. We have cracked this movie wide open. We got
so
it.
I'm so glad that we did this. I feel a little bit better. I'm going to take your backstory, Ward, to help me feel a little bit better about how humanity just tumbled down the rabbit hole of stupidity. I'm going to take that. All right.
I'm going to take Ben's perspective. This is a comedy. If you watch this as a comedy, I would have felt much better about it if I'd watched it as a comedy. And that it is a bad movie. And to watch it with people, too, in a group, that works.
Well, unfortunately,
yeah,
I will never
so.
Do it again. So, absolutely.
Ooh, we can have an annual Battlefield Earth party.
Please, no. Don't start
Don't. See? Even Ben's in. We got to do it now.
Don't. That would be awful. Don't. Why would you even say that? Don't do that.
Oh, it would be so fun.
Would it be fun? I
a
feel like
a worldwide Battlefield
Oh my
Earth
gosh,
screening.
No, stop.
If
no.
We could
you know,
set the
so
record
cool.
for the most people who, to watch Battlefield Earth simultaneously.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. This idea.
And just think about trying to explain Ben to a passerby. It's like, hey, what's that guy Skyping in for? Oh, he's watching Battlefield Earth. Couldn't he just watch it at home? Not like this, he can't.
Oh my gosh, please. Oh dear. No, no, I can't
hear Podcast that. Goals for 2020? Is that, are we going to put that on that list?
Oh gosh, no, I'm sorry. I can't do that. I can't handle it. All right, Ward, it's that time. Where can people,
what time?
Where can people find
Oh, is this the intermission? We're going to pick up the rest of the movie after
you know
the intermission?
What I realized?
Is that what time
we always
is?
Do this at the end, and I feel like people probably would stop listening now because they always know where to find us. So let's start with Ben so we can start there so then people can turn off when they get to us. Ben, where can people find you if they want to hear more of your ideas on movies?
Oh, absolutely. I am at BW Redder. That's BWREDDER on both Instagram and Twitter. You can find me there.
Awesome.
Do you have a blog? Do you post about movies? You have a very intriguing opinion about movies.
I don't. I have a movie job, so I think the amount of talking about movies, I'm sort of able to do that in person constantly all the time. So I don't know. If I did have time, I would definitely be doing something like that. But maybe you'll have me on again and we can talk about movies.
That'd be awesome. Or I guess you guys are planning the 2020 worldwide viewing of Battlefield Earth. So I'm sure that will be exciting.
I'm so down.
That'd be great.
Really, I would help out on that.
I have no doubt that you would. Ward. Okay, first of all, find us at Box Office Refund on Twitter and Instagram. Now, Ward. Where can people find you?
I mean, I would say listen to the previous episode, listen to our next episode. You can find it there, but I'll give you just a preview, not the full thing, because I want to leave you hanging, but I'm on Instagram with Woodworks. I'm not going to tell you what it's about. It's all very tasteful, though. Nothing that's not safe for work. It's completely safe for work. It's all good.
Wow.
Check it out. Maybe you like it. Maybe you won't. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know who you are listening.
Okay. All right. All right. You can find me at Nico Bell Fiction on Instagram or Twitter. You can follow me and my journeys of writing my manuscript, my horror manuscript. And thank you so much. Thank you, Ben, so much. Please
thank you, Ben.
Come back
thank
and
you.
Talk to
it
us.
It was so much fun.
Yes, please. And guys, thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you again next week. Bye.
Box. Office. Refund. Box Office Refund Podcast.